Now, I know that exactly where we are, and I know who I am and what I am. I suffer no illusion about that. I know that you have heard preaching. You're real full. But this is another day, and our prayer should be, give us this day our daily bread. I believe that it takes a daily walk with God. Do you? And I'm just going to suppose that I'm back in Louisiana, and this is another time, another place. And if you hear me refer to this congregation as a vast multitude here, it will be just because I'm supposing I'm somewhere else. Don't misunderstand it. But I thank God for the good things He's given us during this conference. And I, too, feel like that it's been the greatest I've ever attended. And I think it's significant of the fact that God has a definite purpose in mind. God is not aimless, and He doesn't operate just because there's nothing else to do. I don't feel like that He visits our service because there's nothing else to do, or because that He feels sorry for us. I actually believe that there is a feeling and a love of God for His children. And He loves to come among us and bless us and to renew the relationship, have us to express ourselves concerning Him. Praise God. And I don't know exactly what all we'll try to do, but at least I would like for us to open our hearts and give the Lord a chance to bless us and give us a thought today. Will you say praise the Lord? We're going to ask you if you have your Bibles, turn with us to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse, or familiar scripture. We know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, this scripture, of course, is often quoted, that all things work together for the good. And, of course, you know, that's not right. Only for those who love God and who are the called according to the purpose. And I want to think about and have you think with us concerning the purpose of God, who are the called according to the purpose. I mentioned the fact that God is not aimless, nor does He operate in a harum-scarum manner, but has a definite purpose. God has always had. God has had a purpose before this world was. And we who are here today feel that we are called to that purpose. We are to fulfill that purpose. The purpose of God. And I'd like for you to go back with me this morning. Way back before there was anything else. To ascertain the purpose of God. Back before there was a man or woman. And swing out with me way back before there was even a world. Let's go on back before that. Swing way out this morning. Will you go with me? Nod your head, if you will. Shake a bush or something to see that you're with me. Way back, before there was anything, a world, before there were stars, planets, before there was an atom, swing way out. When there was nothing, the Bible said, but God. That's a long way back. Are you out there? Are you with me? Way before there was anything else but God. And everything that is not true becomes absurd when you go that far back. Trinity becomes absurd when you go back when there was nothing but God. Praise God. I don't see how that if you think that far back, you could consider anything but the fact that there is only one God. And God made a throne. And He made angels to worship Him about that throne. This was way back before there was anything else. God had a purpose. He made angels. He made a throne and angels. Then God formed the world, made the world. And of course, you remember Satan became proud and said, I will exalt my throne above yours. I'm going to be greater than you. For that reason, God cast him to the earth. Someone has said, then the world or the earth was without form and was void. When the devil was cast to it, then it became nothing. That's what he always does to anything he has anything to do with. It becomes nothing. Void. And he was cast out. But God did not completely defeat. He was not defeated. And from the base of the world, using that as a base, Satan said, I will yet continue my fight. I will yet fight against God and to try to lift my throne above His. And so you have the purpose of Satan has always been to defeat God. But God, seeing that he was not defeated, chose to continue the fight. But he did not continue the fight from the plane or the position of heaven. But he said, I'm going to get right down there with him. And I'm going to get right on the world with him on earth. And fight against him there. I'm going to put a man there to live in the same world, to walk in the same atmosphere, and to prove to him that I am yet the victor, and he is yet to be defeated. I feel that man was made for the purpose to praise God and by that defeat the devil. I feel that when we are given to the praise of God, that we are fulfilling the purpose of God and praising Him. Well, of course, man proved to be incapable are fighting against Satan himself. And he needed help. And so God gave him a law. But you know that that still caused him to be weak. The purpose of God is to defeat Satan. That has always been. It has not and is not the purpose of God to take a man from earth to heaven. That's not it. Never has been. If all that God had had in mind was just to take a man from the earth and take him to heaven, he could have done that without all of this. But has been the plan of God. It is his purpose. We're talking about the purpose of God. It's the purpose of God to take a man that lives in this world, in the same world that the devil has called his domain, to take that man that's a sinner and make him holy and cause him to live contrary to the wishes of Satan here in this present world, and thus defeat the devil. Praise God. Take a man that's a sinner and make him holy and thus defeat the devil. When you live holy, you are fulfilling the purpose of God. Praise God. The very reason a long time ago, God, way back there when there was nothing else, planned us for the specific purpose of proving to the devil that it can be done. It can be done. A man can live in this world by the help of God and by giving vent to the wooings of the Holy Ghost within him. He can walk with God and defeat Satan. Praise God. I'm glad today to be a part of this big plan. It's so vast. It began a long time ago, before there was anything else. How do you feel today about being in this great purpose of God? Praise God. How many feel glad about the situation today? Thank God. Of course, man under the law was not capable of living. And he found himself in a quandary. And Paul expressed it where he said, when I wanted to do good, evil was present with me. I just couldn't. And I found myself helpless. And in a melee, in a fight, I wanted to do good, but I couldn't. And for the good that I would, I do not. And for that I do not, I do. I'm in a terrible shape. Oh, wretched man that I am. That expresses the condition of the law. Man in his fight to fulfill the purpose of God and defeat Satan found himself in a terrible position. There was something within him put there by God. I say that it was put there by God that made him want to do good. The Gentiles, having not a law, were a law unto themselves. There's something within man that makes him want to do good. But lo, he said, I'm wretched. When I want to do good, I can't. Evil is present with me. Oh, who shall deliver me from this death? Goes on and says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Yes. Praise God. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you included in that group today? Praise God. It feels good to know that I've got a little part of the big plan of God.
that was inaugurated or was set in motion a long time ago. Praise God. And bless your heart, God is not just interested in saving you. Someone has said if all God had wanted was to take you to heaven, He'd have killed you 5 minutes after you got the Holy Ghost. You'd have been ready then. But He let you live. And the reason He let you live, that He figured within you, He trusted within you, was a desire to walk with God and to live in this world with Satan and prove to him through Jesus Christ it can be done. I feel that there are a few folks today that are proving it can be done. Thank God. I say it can be done by the grace of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So God saw that man helpless, and the fight was continuing. The purpose of God. Somewhere in there, God had figured the need of coming Himself and fighting Himself. He could not leave it to a man who found himself in the shape as did those who lived before and under the law. He couldn't leave it to that. So He came Himself. He took upon Himself the form of a man. And I feel like that body was the only body that God ever had. He got in that body and He lived because He wanted to get right down there with Satan on His own territory, on His own ground, in the own temptation, the same one that you go through. And I feel like that the venture of God through the Savior Jesus Christ was nothing more than a success. Brother, it brought every desired success that God wanted. It brought everything. Oh, that is the reason many times that the Spirit would speak its mind concerning Jesus and say, I'm pleased with this. I'm pleased with this. Because this man is not giving vent and living as do other men according to the will of the flesh and Satan, but he is living according to the will of the Spirit. I'm pleased with this body. I'm pleased with this body. It's fulfilling the plan of God. Oh yes, Jesus Christ was a part of the plan of God to bring about the defeat of Satan. I have read not so long ago concerning the book, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the book of Nicodemus. I don't preach that as the Bible, but I think it's good. Someone asked me not long ago in Mississippi, two students of religion had returned from Europe that day, and they were at the tabernacle that night, and they said, what do you think of the Dead Sea Scrolls? And I said, just like everything else, as long as it goes along with the Bible, all right. But if it doesn't, then it's not all right. Because God is not an ignoramus. He doesn't say one thing in His Word and turn around somewhere else and say something different. God's no fool. God has His plan mapped out better than that. He doesn't say one thing one time and turn around and say something else another time. It's all figured out. That's what makes me feel so good, is to know that God has figured this out from a long time ago. Praise God. All we've got to do is just come along and be willing to accept our part and to live as God gives us the power and go along with the plan of God that's already been set up. But in the book of Nicodemus, Nicodemus was supposed to have been one of the raptured saints, or resurrected saints, that come out of the grave at the crucifixion of Jesus. And he tells how that he was there. He was in hell. And he heard the demons in consultation right before the crucifixion of Jesus. Nicodemus, the man who was supposed to have come out of the grave and walked the streets while Jesus was crucified, said that in hell before he was crucified, they were discussing the wisdom, the strategy of the Bible, whether or not it would be good to crucify him. Is that the thing that we really want? Will that help us in this war? So finally they arrived at the decision. Finally, hell was broken by the screams of demons as Satan was announced himself, Lucifer, into the midst of them. And he brought the decision, yes, we will crucify Jesus. And hell was in pandemonium. The shouts of glee. The joy. We're going to crucify Jesus. This man that came with the idea that he was going to fulfill the purpose of God by defeating us. We're going to hang him to a tree. And the shouts and the joy, Nicodemus said, that was heard throughout the corridors there. Finally, after a while of shouting, said that hell became quiet. There was a hush. A solemn air was taken there. Someone came and announced. They heard the solemn footsteps. Who is that? Someone brought the word, that is Jesus Christ himself on his way here. And the hell was broken by the sound of the solemn footsteps of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
On his way there. They announced that hell become quiet. Bible said, of course, whether you take that or not, I quoted it simply as part of the Dead Sea Scroll, not as the fallible word of God. But Scripture does say that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man the belly of the earth, 3 days and nights. And he went there, and he wrestled. I can see as Jesus made his way there, and caught hold of Satan, and wrestled with him, and wrestled from his hand until the keys of death and hell were wrested from the hand of Satan, and Jesus came forth victorious. A great ultimate defeat for Satan when Jesus went there and fought for the keys of death and hell and came forth victorious over the same. Praise God. Can you say praise the Lord? The purpose of God. It was all a part of the purpose of God. It's good to be a part of that today. He proved it can be done. And I feel like there are people today who are proving that it can be done. I'm not like the old horse that believes on once in grass, always in grass. I believe a man can fall. But I feel like that God's grace is more than sufficient. It will see you through. God can take you through. I've already experienced that. Praise God. I received the Holy Ghost. My father was a Baptist minister. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. I've been preaching ever since. And I know what it is to have the whole family against you. But I'm here to say that you can live for God if you want to. if you want to. That's the catch. God only wants those who want to live for Him. You have very little hope of making heaven if there is not a burning, a surging, a rolling desire within you to live for God more than anything else in this world. Somebody said, I only live holy because my pastor preaches so. And I'll never forget one young lady one time told me, little country church, she said, Brother Treece said, I'm young. And said, I've got talent. And don't you think I'm bigger than this? Said, I only come out of respect to the pastor. And I only let my hair grow long because he preaches I should do so. Just because I respect him. She said, what do you think about it? I said, well, as far as he's concerned, you're concerned, God and the church and everybody else, you might as well do what you want to do down within your heart, because you're going to do that anyhow. God only wants those who want to live for God. I've come in a lot of times at night, a little boy, and gone through the living room and my parents sitting making fun of the very thing I had my soul tied to. I pulled the cover over my head lots of nights and felt like, dear God, I'm by myself and you're going to have to help me. I used to have a prayer room. It was out across the alley. We had a pasture. Had a lot of blood weeds in it. I don't know what you call them up here. We call them blood weeds. And they were high in my head and so thick you couldn't see through them. I had me a path stomped out down to a place, and a little place stomped out big enough to pray in. And just a little boy. Many times I would go through the house and they would be mocking. Did you talk in tongues tonight? Did you shout tonight? I'd make my way out to the bloodweed patch in that prayer room. Many nights under the canopy of the stars, with nobody but just me and the Lord, He proved to me that you could live for God if you wanted to.
Yes, sir.
I'm here today because I made my way to that prayer room. Praise God. I remember when I was 13, I was preaching in a tent right down from where we lived. And my folks were going to come that night. In all of my experience, they'd never heard me preach, I thought. This would be a good time. So they were coming. I dressed up the best I could. Had on blue jeans and tennis shoes and t-shirt. Some way or another, felt just as comfortable as I do today. And I had it all lined out. I was going to start with Lazarus and the rich man. Some way or another, I ended up with Acts 2:38. I always managed to get that in. And went out of soap in about 5 minutes. And I jumped and hooped and squalled and hollered. Oh, well, I've really done it now. And there they were, sitting back there, all the folks. I dressed up the best I could. Had on blue jeans and tennis shoes and t-shirt. Some way or another, felt just as comfortable as I do today. And I had it all lined out. I was going to start with Lazarus and the rich man. Some way or another, I ended up with Acts 2:38. I always managed to get that in. And went out of soap in about 5 minutes. And I jumped and hooped and squalled and hollered. Oh, well, I've really done it now. And there they were, sitting back there, all the folks. I didn't know how they was going to take it. So I walked back to where they were. And all of the few preachers had gathered around. My folks, some of the saints. And I had my stepfather point his finger in my face in front of God and everybody else. And give me one of the biggest cursings you've ever seen anybody carry in your life. And all I could think about was run. The felt the blood rushing to my face, humiliated. Something said, why don't you get out of this? Why don't you run? But you know, God's got a way of coming in at the very hour that you need Him. Have you ever felt Him at that hour? Have you ever felt Him at the hour when you needed Him most? He began to cause the altar to loom greater in my mind. The altar rose in my mind. All I could see was the altar. I made my way down and I dug up the sawdust. God came down. He gave me a thought that night I've never forgotten. He said, you found it in there, and you've got it in there. And there's no making you doubt that. I've held on to that. Brother, I found it in there, and I've got it in there. And you can't make me shake that. Praise God. It stayed there, and it's kept me a long time. Praise God. Preached my first sermon barefooted with a pair of overalls on. My text was, receive it as a little child. I suppose it was appropriate for the occasion. Amen. But through it all, I'm able to see God's hand as it guided me. Praise God! And almost as though you come through a wilderness upon a mountain, you're able to look back there and see as though you were not able to see before, and see the path. And see the woods and the trail that you came.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Jesus said, when you see all of these things, I believe that now in the light of prophecy, that we're able to look back as no one has ever been before. And to see the trail the church has come as no one else. As though we stand on a lofty height and look back down at the wilderness we have traversed. We're able to see the trail as we've never seen it before. I'm able to look back on my life and see the hand of God. And see the trail. And see the plan of God working and making itself known and felt in my own self. Praise God. I cannot help but go on and to desire to fulfill the plan of God. Finally, the final punch came. In the purpose of God. I said that the purpose of God was not to take men from earth to heaven, but to take men that are sinners and make them holy. Cause them to defeat Satan that way. I feel like that every time that you tell Satan no, you're helping fulfill the purpose of God. I have wished a lot of times that I could say yes one time and never have to say it again. I wish I could say yes eternally and never be faced with the proposition again. Never have to say it again. I would to God today from this very platform, I could look into the face of God and say, God, once and for all, I want to settle it now. Yes, I will live for you. Yes, one time. But alas, for some reason, God has seen fit every day of my life that I come face to face with the same decision. And I have to say yes every day I live. You know why? Because God gets glory that we're able to live in this war with Satan and have him tempt us every day. And yet we can still say no, Satan, and yes to God. I feel that it praises him and he gets glory out of that. I feel like, young ladies, every time you're tempted to cut your hair and wear short sleeves and so forth, and you say no, that you exalt the name of the Lord. God gets glory out of that. Every time you say no, I will not go where you want to go, to Satan, you are fulfilling the purpose and the plan of God. But the final punch came when Jesus said, you go back to Jerusalem and you wait for the promise. You wait on it there. I'm going to send it. And man had been without help. He had been trying to struggle along. God understood. But the time came when God was about to give them the thing that would cause the ultimate defeat of Satan. And the day of Pentecost came. And when the Holy Ghost came, I feel like that the Holy Ghost was the final part of the purpose of God in causing men to be able to defeat Satan. I feel the Holy Ghost was the final part of it. Praise God. And after that, men have been able to live by the grace of God. But the question remains, are you fulfilling the purpose of God? The purpose of God is not just to make you a preacher. It's not just to make you have a salary and have a church. That hasn't been God's plan. And God didn't look down and just see that I needed a little help as far as living was concerned. And God didn't just say this would be a good vocation. But this has been a long time. And it's been in the mind of God a long time. And it's good to know that I am a part of the eternal purpose that God has in mind. And I think of the illustration I heard concerning the purpose of God. The little boy was taking violin lessons. And he had a very strict teacher. One that was very demanding. And it wasn't enough for him to have exactness of note. But the teacher exacted of him that he would put himself into his play. He would relax. Let his personality flow into his playing. Of course, a lot of folks can saw it, but to play it like that's a different thing. And he would sit with a frown on his face in practice session till that little fella had that just right. Made him play it just right. Finally, the big night came for a concert recital. Just before the little fella went out upon the stage, his old teacher told him, said, now listen, I'm going to be sitting in a certain place in the balcony, and I'm going to be watching you. You keep in mind, I know what you're doing. And these folks don't know music, but I do. You keep it in mind. And if you see me lean over the balcony and smile, then you'll know that you're doing well. But if you see me leaning over the balcony and frowning, then you'll know you're not doing so well. You remember, I know what you're doing. Little boy said he would remember. So he came out upon the stage, brought the violin up, and began to play. And as he played, he watched the face of the people. And he knew that although there was exactness of note, you couldn't find anything wrong there. Still, he knew to his practiced ear that he wasn't doing what he could be doing. But he watched the folks. And as he played, their faces, and they whispered to one another. They saw a little boy with a fiddle and they thought that was grand. He's playing and making music. And he played, and the farther he went, the more nervous he got, and the more he detected the absence of the freedom and the personality flowing into the music. Finally, the violin came down. That congregation came up with wild ovation and cried for encore. And of course, the first thought was, well, I didn't do so bad after all. That was pretty good. These folks think I'm all right. That's usually the first reaction. And they were crying out in court. All of a sudden, he thought of the old man. He looked up in the balcony. And sure enough, the old teacher was leaning over, frowning furiously at him. The first thought he had was, well, he's just jealous. That's all wrong with him. He knows I played that just right. And he's just jealous. But he thought about what the old man said. That these folks don't know what you're doing. They just hear a little boy with a fiddle and they don't know what you're doing. I know music, the old man had said. So he said, I'm going to play it this time for that old fella. I'm going to please him if it's the last thing I ever do. I'm going to please him. So he brought the violin up again and he picked the face up in the audience of that old man. And he watched that face as he played. And the folks were able to notice a difference. As he played, the face of that teacher grew closer. And all others were lost in oblivion. He watched him. He kept his eyes glued to that one spot. Did you know people can tell a difference when you're really living for God for the right purpose?
Sir.
They can tell a difference. Kept his eyes glued there. And finally, as the folks became lost in his vision, he saw the old man lean over the balcony and smile. But there had been such a marked difference that people had noticed it, that there was a solemn feeling, a hush came over that crowd. And as he finished that piece, not a hand was clapped, but the old man was leaning over the balcony and smiling at him. The question is today, who are you living for and why? Who are you trying to make believe that you're a Christian? It's not enough just to make your pastor believe you are. The more you look at the Lord, the more that you look to His face and keep Him in view, the more in oblivion everyone else will become. Who are you living for? Who are you trying to make believe you're a Christian? Oh yeah. Paul said, who do we persuade? Men or God? Who are you trying to make feel like you are? The purpose of God is not to take you from earth to heaven, but it's to take men that are sinners, make them holy, let them live and defeat Satan. May the Lord bless you.